from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad. Hopefully slightly more organised. Nah, what's the point? The BBC are in the firing line again.
Yeah, but...
Oh, this annoys me. This annoys me.
Why?
Look,
okay. Like every other state broadcaster around the world these days, they all have to compete against commercial people.
I know what you're going to say.
So if they don't pay the same rates as the commercial world, state broadcasters end up getting monkeys.
But they do end up with monkeys anyway. Just listen to them, and there is nothing nuts about what they do. It's just absolute drivel.
Right, so let's find out why they're under fire at the moment. Lucy Adams, who's the boss of HR, is getting told off because she used the term sweetener to describe a severance pay. Everybody in the business world says, give him a sweetener.
But this isn't the point, isn't it? It's what it implies. It's what it implies about this organisation, the great hallowed BBC, by using gangster-type phrases like
they're
sweetener.
Not gangster, they're common speak.
They're not, though, are they?
They are common speak.
They're not really, no, because if you get a payoff, it's a payoff.
It's a sweetener.
If you get a golden handshake, it's a golden handshake.
It's a sweetener.
And a sweetener is something that usually indicates that, used to indicate that you've been paid off to keep your gob shut.
Well, actually,
that's the way I interpret it.
Right,
we don't use that phrase here in any form of business.
Right, well, if you want to take it in its literal term, it says Lucy Adams faces calls to quit over using the term an alternative to sugar to describe severance payouts.
Yeah, it's a sweetener. What she said the word sweetener. Oh. You know, she wasn't talking about what you put in your cup of tea at the BBC.
Nobody cares.
Where's the egregious offence here? I don't understand why this is a story. I'm confused as to why we're even discussing.
Well, the story's what it is. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're both saying on that basis, and particularly what Rachel says, because Rachel and I have an understanding, as we discovered last week. And you don't know what it is, do you? Something between me and Rachel. So Lucy Adams is in the trouble anyway, and she's leaving the corporation next April. And she has this incredibly high-powered job, which is where the decisions are made, or partially made, on how much people get paid and how much people get paid when they're leaving.
Right.
Now, and this is, like you quite rightly say, public money that's involved.
Yes.
And for somebody in her position to use a phrase like sweetener under these circumstances shows perhaps that she wasn't as careful in a choice of words that she should be, which is what in business she should be. She should be more careful. And this is what's called an in to a story. They use that as an in to the story, not because it was the most important thing, but because it was a way of revealing and telling the story.
Lee, I remember an MP...
It means something else.
I remember an MP being interviewed on the telly by a BBC journalist who said, how much are your expenses? He refused to answer her until she told him how much he got paid, she got paid. Now, I find that offensive attitude by the MP.
Yeah, I do as well.
I don't think he had the... and in fact, I think he should be hauled over the task over it. And I also think the BBC should have the option to say, sorry, sir, that's commercially sensitive.
I think you're quite right, but I'm not sure about the commercial sensitivity is right when you're purely a commercial enterprise. When you're a public body, you have to really consider how far you're going to go with commercial sensitivity.
All right, let me give you a scenario. I have an independent production company.
Yes.
And I do work for a number of companies which includes the BBC, and that can also include Sky and ITV as well. Yes. And an MP says, how much do you pay Eric's independent production company?
Yeah.
And they say, that's commercially sensitive. And I think that's right.
I can see your point. I don't really have... It's difficult to argue the case, really. But I can
really
what I'm saying. Yeah, because what I'm saying is, it's I can understand both sides of the argument, and I can see that commercial sensitivity is important. But also, I think it is important to know what organisations like the BBC are doing with your money. Just as you should be able to know what the county councils are doing with your council tax. Just as you should know what the government's doing with your money.
But they don't. They don't.
Well, the argument really is about how far the transparency should go.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just we should very go all the way.
And the government cannot be transparent. It's impossible.
Yeah, it is.
It's absolutely physically impossible, and you know that as a journalist, Lee. When you were in Northern Ireland, if you went too far, you'd get a D notice slapped on you, and that would be the end of it. You can't report it.
Yeah, but there are ways and means of counteracting that. There's different ways of, like, for instance, this sweetener tag on this story is a different way into the story. And what you would do when you got a D notice slapped on you was find a different way into the story.
Mm.
It is part of the job of a journalist to clean opaque situations and make opaque situations transparent if they possibly can.
Mm.
And sometimes you can only just rub a little hole in the opaqueness and only see a little bit of the story and a little bit of the picture. But I think you need to do that, and I think that therefore that means that these stories are important. We should know what goes on behind closed doors.
Well, let's just throw this out to the audience. When she was asked about this in Parliament, she actually said, I may have used the term by means of an incentive to get a swift resolution.
Mm.
Okay. Now, because of that, an MP says she should go. What a load of twaddle.
She's going anyway, isn't she? Is that what you said before?
Yeah,
she's going in April. But
when
she's
will she go with Sweet and Low?
I'm sure she will, and that's something that we see. You just asked that question while saying that you shouldn't necessarily know what the situation is, but the automatic question in your mind... Is she going to get a payoff?
Or a sweet
right.
Don't know.
But she's also in a lot of, well, not a lot of trouble, but she's been in controversial circumstances for the past few weeks at least.
Mm-hmm.
In other things that involve the...
she will, because she's actually a target now.
Of course she is. She's been before the Commons Public Accounts Committee, having to give evidence to them on various things. She's had a lot to say about things. And of course she's under pressure, but it still doesn't make it necessary to keep everything secret from the public when it's a public organisation.
Not everything, but I think there are some things that people have no right to know and they shouldn't know, and the phrase I'll use is, what the hell's it got to do with you anyway?
I can see your point. I can't really argue it beyond what I'm saying.
Okay, let's move on then. Google are in the dock again as Street View lawsuits get a go-ahead. Yay! A federal court appeal has said that a lawsuit accusing Google of illegally wiretapping should go ahead in the courts in America now. And what Google were doing was doing their Street View mapping using open Wi-Fi services, which meant they also came across other data that was transmitted over these encrypted, unencrypted Wi-Fi networks. But they didn't tell anybody.
Exactly.
Yes.
But it's their network.
Yeah.
And it's their network. They're collecting the system. And their unencrypted system, why shouldn't they be able to keep it secret?
Lee, this is unencrypted Wi-Fi networks that do not belong to Google. They belong to a citizen.
I know, I'm saying, but why have they had to reveal that they've been doing this? If the BBC can keep quiet about how much money they're spending, why can't they keep quiet about what they're doing?
I'll repeat myself.
They're walking into people's houses, basically, and going through their stuff.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Absolutely. Google should be hung, drawn and quartered for the Google view maps and things like that. The invasion of privacy, the absolute abject, disgusting invasions of privacy carried out by Google to collect data about people that nobody really in their right mind would give away. Just like Facebook, just like everything to do with the internet.
No. It's a totally different story. You make a conscious decision to sign up under the terms and conditions of Facebook. That's what you do.
Yeah.
With the way that Google was working, they were using unencrypted Wi-Fi networks to enable them to map the countries. But in doing so, they had an opportunity because. So what Google is doing is totally, totally different to Facebook.
Immoral.
It's totally
illegal.
It's nothing to do with Facebook or Twitter. Or
I was just making an analogy.
But it's a wrong analogy.
I have to agree with Uncle Eric on that. I really do.
Right, that's it, you. Rachel, that's Brunston.
I feel like
right,
I'm just cheating
we had an
you.
Understanding. Our understanding has now been pulled
Rach. Rach, the one time when I wished I'd got a bloody phone camera, I was phone camera. I was so angry. I was standing in the car park waiting for my driver to arrive at the beach, and you'll never believe what drove out in front of me.
What?
A Harley?
A yellow car with the plate HPB. Straight up, I promise you, somewhere on the island of Cyprus is a car with the registration number HPB, and it was three numbers behind it, like 357 or something. But it was HPB, and it's a yellow car, and it's on the island of Cyprus, and I nearly fell over laughing. Martina
said, "Oh my God."
Martina said, "What's the matter?"
On the island of Cyprus, my car
yes.
is driving around.
So if anybody's on the island of Cyprus and you see a car with HPB as the registration number or letters, please send it to me so I can give it to Rachel. It'd be wonderful. Moving along, so we've told Google what we think of them. There was a big announcement this week that there's a new iPhone.
Yeah.
We was bored to death.
We were.
And then it says, hey, guys, the new great toy on the iPhone is fingerprint recognition.
Big deal.
Yeah. To give up.
Why don't they do ear recognition?
To get away and put an end to the days of passwords. So if you get a new iPhone.
Yeah, but so... But, I mean, this is not creative. This is not new. Most, you know, high security buildings have fingerprint recognition. This is not brand new technology. This is nothing inventive. Just because they're giving it to the masses, big deal.
Rach, we had fingerprint recognition on laptops about 5 or 6 years ago.
There you go. So who cares?
Yeah.
Apple.
And what's more, this is my advice. If you are considering buying an iPhone 5C, which really means for China, which doesn't seem to have worked. Also, buy yourself a box of something that heals your finger quickly. Because once you put a plaster on it, it ain't going to be able to see your fingerprint, is it?
And is there no other way to switch it on?
Well, you can use a password as well.
See, so what you're talking is rubbish again.
That's stupid.
It's nuts.
Why don't they do ear recognition? So we have to put it on your ear, right, and it can check your cochlears to see what shape they are, and then do that. Then that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? A cochlear recognition system.
Or retinal scanning or something.
Well, they did offer... I did hear talk about them doing a voice recognition one, but they tried to use Lee's voice and it all failed.
Because nobody was saying it properly. It goes like this. It goes, what a load of rubbish!
Yeah.
Who was that?
That was you.
That was me.
It was you.
It was her.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
But don't worry, Mr. Apple, because all the ice sheep will follow you and buy one.
Yeah, that's the core of your business.
Yeah, the ice sheep. Anyway, Mr. Cameron has announced that there is to be a sell-off of Royal Mail within weeks. What are you going to sell next, Buckhouse? You can't sell the Royal Mail.
Book.
You can't. It's the Royal Mail.
But it's rubbish.
It's got nothing.
And it's expensive. And it's stupid. And it takes too long. And things get lost. It's a pointless organisation. If you put a letter in the Royal Mail, that's as good as put it on the fire. You'll never see it again. And it'll cost you loads of gosh. 75, 80 pence to send a letter.
Is that how much it is?
In the UK. Yes. And it cost me, over here in Spain, 85 pence, 85 cents, sorry, that's cents, not pence,
right.
Cents, to send a contract from here to London. So it needs selling off. The Royal Mail is a complete anathema to British society. It is a con and a rip-off. It needs selling on to somebody who will make it work properly.
They can't.
They can't make it work, no, because it's rubbish.
No, people just don't sell letters like they used to. Send letters like they used to.
No, they send emails. Yeah.
They do emails. Even in law, a PDF is acceptable. In law these days.
That's right. So what idiot is going to spend $3 billion on it?
Quite simple. Quite simple. Anybody that wants the infrastructure, they'll buy it and use it for something else. And your Royal Mail's gone.
What would you use it for?
One of the
pigeonholes.
One of the big.
Yes.
No, if you take
your pigeons,
take your distribution method, and you go, okay, Mister. Well, I won't mention any names because that's advertising for them. But one of the big courier companies, because I will not use the other word that they use. I cannot understand that. They're courier companies, end of story. One of the big courier companies that starts with T that now say, what do they call themselves now? They don't call them couriers, do they?
No, they don't. But I've no idea what you're talking about. So
I used to work for that organisation with Henry.
They don't call themselves couriers anymore. They're, what is it? Oh, I don't remember.
It's logistics and mail.
Logistics. They're not
logistics companies. I understand now, yes.
They're not logistics companies. They're ruddy courier companies.
They are. And the problem is, if you think about it, this argument could be completely spurious because courier companies use their own wagon systems to use that. And Royal Mail tends to send it all by train. And the train system in Britain's a load of crap as well.
Well, cool. We'll have to bleep a load of words this week. Anyway, no.
I only said a little a rap. With a C on it.
Oh, that'll do. But the point is that Royal Mail's got a lovely infrastructure. One of these big courier companies could buy it up, and it'll be a cheap way of doing it. They asset strip it. Goodbye. All the jobs go. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
It's a good revenue raiser for them.
Million. Yeah.
133 million for a load of things that you make you lick the back of the Queen's head.
Oh. Anyway, notwithstanding the fact no one's discussed yet the pension black hole in the Royal Mail, which is another issue because that's
you shouldn't be posting pensioners.
Very good. Anyway, first it was the news of the world.
Oh, here we go.
Now look in the mirror. Publishers of the Sunday Mirror are now under investigation. Oh, I'm getting so bored with this. After allegedly phone hacking, its parent company has said.
Yes.
Okay, that's it then. We're bored with that now, aren't we?
Well, because there's nothing to say about it other than to say it's a and if newspapers are going to have to stop using methods of investigation that every other organisation that does investigations are using all the time, including all sorts of ordinary companies like banks, insurance companies, everybody else is doing it. It's about time they stop you attacking people for doing what everybody else is doing.
I've got no argument
when they're
with
doing
that.
It for, I didn't think it made sense, actually. I was just going to...
It didn't.
Well, I understood what you meant, and I have no argument against it. Let's move on. J.D. Weatherspoons. I can imagine all the... We have an organisation in the UK called CAMRA, and CAMRA's one of these people that loves real ale.
It is, and I am not a member of CAMRA, but I am a member of the I Love Real Ale person. I love anything that's real.
Well, there you go. But anyway, I can imagine them all grimacing at the moment because pubs are shutting at, you know, ridiculous rates in the UK. And yet, J.D. Weatherspoon's pub have poured out a record 128 billion worth of sales.
It's amazing to me because there's nothing wrong with them, but they are basically restaurants.
No, when would you guys go to Wetherspoons?
Ooh, me or the smiling kangaroo?
You.
I went to. I don't know, really.
No.
about 8 months ago.
Right. Well, I went into Wetherspoons not a year ago, and it was a pub-style place with tables and chairs like a pub that sold food like a pub.
A restaurant?
No, it's a pub.
It's not a pub. It's a restaurant that sells beer.
It's a pub that sells food.
It's a restaurant that sells beer.
You're selling tomato and I'm saying tomato.
No, a pub that sells food is a pub that has a little plastic cover on the counter with a knackered old cheese sandwich in it. That's a pub that sells food. A pub that serves you a three-course meal and allows you to bring your children in, that is a restaurant that serves beer.
That is a bistro.
Right. Well, just to add to Lee's view on it, which I have to say reluctantly I'm going to have to agree with this comment, it was extremely funny. Because in the news,
all the prices,
in the news coverage of Wetherspoons, the chairman Tim Martin was photographed in a Wetherspoons pub.
Yeah,
drinking
having his tea,
drinking a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
What a girl!
What a PR disaster! A PR disaster. You know, I'm not saying which political party, but you could learn something from one of them. You know, go into your pub, sir, Mr. Martin, hello, and drink a pint of beer.
Absolutely.
Not
absolutely.
Drink a coffee.
Can I tell you of another PR disaster that not Wetherspoons, but a very similar pub group did? They advertised that for families, this was a family advertisement, right? And this is the God's honest truth. They advertised, coming for a meal, the kids eat for free. My mate went in with his wife and his children and was turfed out. The reason being, and this is God's honest truth, he had 11 children. And he could have laughed for 11 and he wouldn't serve him.
They wouldn't do that to Angelina Jolie.
No, they wouldn't. anyway, well done to the partly pub chain Wetherspoons for turning in a nice big profit and proving everybody else wrong. Kylie's to join The Voice.
Unbelievable.
Wonderful, yes. Wonderful.
Why is that wonderful?
Because it's a wonderful show.
Oh,
it is a brilliant
so
show,
shocking.
But why do you want Kylie gone?
Because she's got a nice bottom.
She's got a lovely bottom. She's got a lovely downstairs bottom.
Who qualifies her to do what exactly?
Pardon?
What does that qualify her to do? What does that qualify her to do in terms of this particular
talk through it.
No. And she mentors...
I know about this, but come on!
What?
No! A Minigue is not qualified to judge a zebra crossing... And, you know, the facility of its stripes, let alone a vocal competition. It is flies in the face of everything decent, and I feel sick.
What? Kylie does good music.
Kylie Minogue does not do good music at all.
She does
that is
not
you
do
should
good
be
music.
Taking
you know what
she
good
does
music
rubbish
is?
Music.
Listen to her.
It's absolutely rubbish.
apart from, are you saying that Kylie Minogue's rubbish? Rachel.
Yes, absolutely rubbish.
See, we're back on track now. Kylie Minogue is a load of rubbish. She has one of the prettiest derrieres I've ever seen. But beyond that, there's nothing to her. She's an empty-headed...
Let me just try something here. I am confused now.
She's out of her bottom. I've seen it.
I'm confused. I'm confused. Now, my understanding...
You're not pants on.
Shush. My understanding is this. Now, I could be wrong... I could be wrong, but this is my understanding.
Go on.
The mass populace, the majority, the people that control the music empires are actually consumers. They vote with a purchase. So they vote.
Simon Cowell and his wrong directions and all that stuff. They vote. Same as Bieber's and whatnot. It doesn't make it good.
They vote with a purchase because they like it. And if it is, the population likes it and turns 50 of Kylie's songs into hit singles, and the populace says, we like her, and put 50 of her singles in the charts, who the heck are we to say she's rubbish when the majority love her?
Because the populace are deaf.
Absolutely. And also, you have to bear in mind that on that premise, then the woman who wrote 50 Shades of Grey should actually get the Pulitzer Prize for Literature.
Yes.
Probably, yeah.
No. I'm giving up now.
Right, so we move on to Andy Warhol's art set to fetch millions. Why?
Because he's a genius.
Because he's rubbish.
He's not rubbish. He's a genius.
You're all eye sheep.
Have a Warhol, the tasteless wench.
Actually, come to think of it, he was the one we know there's, for Apple, there's eye sheep. Yeah. And for Andy, there should be I Warhol.
Andy Sheep.
Soup Sheep?
There should be I Andy's or I Andy. I Andy.
I Andy.
I Andy's.
Talking about. Is
that like Will I Am?
No.
Iconic in pop culture. He started this underground film. But he was more than just a painting of a soup can. There was a lot more to the man than that.
He took photographs.
Fascinating individual.
He ran the factory.
And he was weird.
He invented Lou Reed.
That's weird.
John Cale.
That's weird.
He did.
he gave Jim Morrison a telephone.
That's weird.
And also, Rachel, this will shut him up.
I hope so.
He came from Slovakia.
Well, you say that.
He just did.
You say that. His grandparents were here. But where was he brought up and lived?
Well, in New York.
There you go. I rest my case. He was completely ruined.
Pretty good city.
He's gone completely nuts because, as the song says, you've got to live in New York, but get out before you go nuts. We've got time for one more story, and this is it. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. The EC wants to scrap mobile roaming charges for phones so that if you start off in one country, you move to another one in the EU, you get the same call rates. Having been charged, get this, €9 for 1 meg of data while I was away until we complained and bitched and screamed at people. And then, funnily enough, Lee, they dropped it to 11 cents.
They did, actually, and that's quite true. I think that was a fairly good victory.
Yes, and that is true, Rachel. From €9 to 11 cents, and what the EC are saying now is that should never be in place in the first place. It should be scrapped. And also that they want to abolish premium rates of using phones when dialing across Europe from landlines as well. Eureka! You don't get charged extra when you're in the north and the south of America, do you?
Well, you don't, actually.
No.
And here's a top tip for the ladies and gentlemen.
Quick, because we've got no seconds left.
Use Skype.
Correct.
It's dead cheap and works perfectly.
That's the end of Postcard and Pop for another week. See you later. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.